Well, you don't doubt that he was there and looked at it, do you?
I don't doubt it, but I just don't remember him being there. But I don't doubt it. He was probably there.
You were the one that asked for the city inspector to come out and take a look at your house, right?
I had two contacts with the city building department of Huntington Beach, and they likewise had two separate opinions, so there were two contacts.
The one you know about is what Mr. Bendlin wrote in that letter today?
That it...
And in that letter he said that the only thing that he had observed was that you had raised your patio in the backyard.
That is what he said. Do you want to hear what the other gentleman said?
No.
Okay.
So, at the time that you made your decision that you weren't going to take, allow S&S to repair the house, you were aware that the city inspector had said that the problem is caused by you, right?
The city inspector said that.
The head of the building department, sir, that is the one that said that the problem was being caused by your patio. Right?
I am aware of that letter, yes.
And you had also had the Converse Ward report, right?
Yeah, in September.
By September?
By September I had that report.
Well, let's move ahead. In December, after some back and forth, S&S agreed to buy the house at a fair market value, and you said no, right?
I wanted cost of replacement, that is correct.
By the end of December, after you threatened the big lawsuit, S&S agreed to buy your home back at fair market value and pay you some attorney's fees and pay your moving expenses, and you said no, correct?
Correct.
And that is when you wanted the nuisance money. Is that the 50 grand, right?
Because the class had already started coming together at that point.
Let's talk about the class.
Sure.
You know, I moved too quickly. You mean it was now worth $50,000 because you were starting to put together a class?
No.
Okay.
I was trying to get your time frame straight that there was now a class action. There were a lot of other people involved in this action. It wasn't just me any longer.
Well, you didn't care about those people if you got your 50 grand. You would have taken off, right?
I did too care a lot about those people.
Well, we will get to that in just a minute. Let's talk about how those people came together. You hired Doug Honig in what, about November of 1978?
I didn't know it was that late, but it could have been November. I thought it was earlier, maybe like September. But if you say November, I will believe that.
By November, you had hired him, correct?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
And you talked to him about your problems and about him representing you against S&S, correct?
Yes.
And then you went to the... You put an ad in the Penny Saver twice, correct?
See, that just refreshed my memory. Now, he represented me earlier because those articles were run at his request. So that would be September and whenever those ran that he was representing me.
I think those ran in November, didn't they?
I thought they were September. It could be... I don't remember the date. I would have to look at them.
In the latter part of the year in 78, you twice ran Penny Saver ads?
I did.
You were looking for people to join up with you in a class action lawsuit, correct?
I was looking for other people that had the same problem that were not getting any help to find out if there were other people getting the same treatment that I was getting. Yes.
In fact, you were trying to put together this class so you could put pressure on S&S, correct?
Yeah, we as a group, we thought that they would listen to us more as a group. We did think that.
I am trying to concentrate on what you thought. You wanted to put this group together so you could put pressure on S&S. And you could get the big bucks, right?
It was not just for me. It was not just for me. It was a class of people that had been injured. A big class of people that had been injured.
And your attorney, Doug Honig, said, one way to do this is let's get a whole bunch of people together and we will file a big lawsuit, right?
He did.
He told you that. He told you to put an ad in the Penny Saver?
He did.
And you did that?
I did.
And then you told Mr. Firestein if he didn't pay you that $55,000 plus, buy your home back, that he was going to see a real big class action lawsuit, right?
Now you are getting out of context, out of time frame.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, that letter from Mr. Fagan, I believe, was back in like September, and now Honig is filing this class action, putting it together later in the year, and it finally happened in January. But when I made that statement to Mr. Fagan, there was no class. There wasn't a class at that time. They were dealing with me individually. Then a couple of months later, the class had evolved, and now there were a lot of other people and potential people in that lawsuit. So it was switching from an individual lawsuit or to possibly a class action.
Well, let's get it set in time because this may be important. You have got Exhibit 212, don't you?
I have it here.
Can you pull that out before...
I have that.
Now, that is another letter by Pastrana to Firestein, dated September 8 of 1978?
Yes.
Now, that letter doesn't mention anything about a class action suit, does it?
It does not.
In fact, as of September 8 of 78, you were just asking to have S&S buy your home back, right?
That's right.
And the dispute then wasn't about money. It was about whether they would buy your house back?
I don't see any demand for money in it.
Take a look at 213.
I have that.
213 is a letter of October 5, 1978. 78?
It is.
Addressed to your lawyer, Pastrana?
It is.
From Mr. Firestein, right?
Yes.
And it is a letter in reply to his letter of September 8, correct?
Yes.